All right, so have you ever like tried to change your default browser
Yeah.
and it's like pulling teeth?
Totally. It can be a real pain.
It feels like somebody really wants you to stay on like whatever came pre-installed on your computer.
It's true, and that's what we're gonna kind of deep dive into today, this idea of like browser choice, right? Why is it so hard to use what you want to use?
And we have some like pretty interesting sources that we dug up
Yeah.
on how this is all playing out, especially like focusing on Microsoft.
Well, yeah, Microsoft's the big player here, right? We've got this group called the Browser Choice Alliance, which includes Opera and Vivaldi.
Baldy.
Even Chrome is in there. And they've been talking about this issue a lot. They're saying, look, Microsoft controls like, what, 70% of the desktop market?
Yeah, over 70%. It's a huge
It's
number.
gigantic. So it's like whatever they decide to do kind of impacts the whole internet. So that's why this is such a big deal, because if they are using that dominance to like push people towards Edge, their browser, then that stifles competition. It limits what users get to experience. And that brings us to this whole idea of dark patterns. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, so it's like those sneaky design things they put in to kind of like trick you into doing what they want you to do.
Right, like those websites where it's almost impossible to unsubscribe from their emails. Or maybe they make you click through like a million pages before you can actually do what you want to do.
Yeah, it's like intentionally confusing.
Right, totally. And the sources we're looking at are saying that Microsoft might be using these dark patterns to like keep people on edge.
Okay, so like what specifically are we talking about here? Give me an example.
So imagine you want to try out a different browser.
Like SweetNet Surfer.
Yeah, exactly. SweetNet Surfer, it's this fast, customizable browser. It's getting a lot of buzz lately, especially for its privacy features. But you go to download it, and suddenly Windows is throwing up all these warnings
Like what?
like, hey, this download might be unsafe, or are you sure you want to do this?
Even though SweetNet Surfer is totally legitimate.
Exactly. So it's like they're trying to scare you off.
That's pretty shady.
And it's not just with downloads. Think about default settings, right? You go in, you specifically set SweetNet Surfer as your default browser. You're feeling good, you're browsing the web, and then boom, Windows update happens. And suddenly, Edge is back as your default.
No way. So they just like override your choice.
That's what the Browser Choice Alliance is claiming, yeah.
That's so frustrating.
It is, and it's not just the default browser.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah, some file types, like let's say PDFs, you try to open them, and even though you've set a different default, they might still open in Edge.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's like they're really trying to keep you in their ecosystem.
So it's like they're saying, okay, fine, you can technically choose, but we're going to make it really, really annoying.
Right. And it gets even trickier when you start looking at Microsoft services
Of
themselves.
what, like Teams?
Exactly. Teams, Outlook, you're working in
I
those
use Teams all the time.
all the time, right? So you're in there, you click a link, and guess what? It opens an Edge.
Even if I've set Vivaldi as my default.
Even if you have, yep. And Vivaldi is great, by the way.
It's got those amazing tab management features.
And the built-in ad blocker, it's fantastic.
On them.
But Microsoft can still kind of force you back into Edge in those situations.
Wow. So they really have you coming and going.
Right. And the argument is that this hurts competition. It makes it really tough for smaller browsers, the up-and-comers, to gain any traction.
Yeah, like the people behind SweetNet Surfer.
Exactly. They're out there, they're innovating, they're focused on privacy and speed, but they have to fight this uphill battle just to get people to try their product.
So in a way, Microsoft is kind of like the gatekeeper to the whole internet experience on Windows.
That's a good way to put it. And that raises a lot of questions about fairness in the future of the web. Like, if the gateway is controlled by a company that also makes its own browser, can there really be a level playing field?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's something we're going to dig into even deeper in the next part of our deep dive.
It is. And luckily, there are people who are trying to, like, level the playing field a little bit. And this is where this thing called the Digital Markets Act, or DMA, comes in.
The DMA.
This is, like you said, a referee for big tech, making sure that they play fair. And one of the things they do with the DMA is they have this concept of gatekeepers. So companies that have a huge impact on like the digital marketplace, they're subject to stricter rules to make sure that there's competition and users have choices.
So the Browser Choice Alliance wants Microsoft Edge to be named one of these gatekeepers
Right.
under the DMA. So what would that actually look like?
Well, it could force Microsoft to be more like upfront about how they promote Edge. No more like sneaky dark patterns.
Right.
They might even have to like actually give users a choice of different browsers when you install Windows.
Rather than just defaulting to Edge.
Right. Instead of being like, here's Edge, deal with it.
Right.
They might have to say, hey, here's a bunch of different browsers, pick which one you want.
That would be a huge win for users who want to try something different.
Absolutely.
Like Sweet NetSurfer.
Imagine you're setting up your computer.
Yeah.
And it says, okay, do you want Chrome? Do you want Firefox? Do you want Vivaldi? Do you want Sweet NetSurfer? What do you want?
Yeah.
And they all have like a little description of what they do.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be a much better user experience.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the things that the DMA could potentially do.
Okay. But, you know, we've been talking a lot about like Microsoft and these tactics. But what about the browsers themselves?
Yeah.
Like, why should people care about trying something different?
That's a great question, because at the end of the day, it's about finding the tools that work for you.
Right.
And there's a whole world of browsers out there that are doing really cool things.
So we've talked about Sweet NetSurfer.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Privacy, speed, all that.
Yeah. Really focused on speed and privacy.
But what about like Vivaldi, for example?
So Vivaldi is all about customization.
Okay.
It's like you want to tweak every little thing about your browser. Vivaldi lets you do it.
Okay, cool.
They have amazing tab management.
Right.
You can change the color schemes. You can do custom keyboard shortcuts. It's like really designed for people who want control.
It's like power users.
Power users. Yeah, exactly. And they're big on privacy, too.
Okay.
They have tracker blocking, private browsing modes, all that good stuff.
And then, of course, you have Chrome.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's the 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah.
Right?
The most popular browser in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's made by Google.
Yeah.
But it's still super popular. And I know it has a lot of its own issues, too.
Right. Yeah. Google definitely has its own antitrust issues.
Right.
That we could probably talk about for a whole other deep dive, honestly.
Probably. Another deep dive for sure.
But Chrome is known for its speed.
Yeah.
It's got tons of extensions.
Yeah.
It works really well with other Google services.
Right.
But that integration can also be a little bit...
shady.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how much data are they collecting?
Right.
And how much are they influencing what you see online?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not just about choosing a different browser.
Right.
It's about choosing like...
the one that fits your value.
Yeah. The one that's right for you.
Right. If privacy is really important to you,
right,
then you might go with something like Sweet NetSurfer.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want speed and customization, maybe Vivaldi is the way to go. It's all about figuring out what's important to you and finding the browser that matches that.
Okay, so let's say I'm ready to make the switch. I'm ready to ditch the default.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone just starting out on their browser journey?
I think the biggest thing is to not be afraid to try things out.
Okay.
Download a couple of different browsers, play around with them, see what you like.
Yeah.
There's no commitment. You can always switch back if you don't like something.
And like, what should people be looking for?
Yeah.
When they're comparing browsers? Like, are there key features
yeah.
or things they should keep in mind?
Definitely. Think about your browsing habits.
Okay.
What are the things that are most important to you? If you're really concerned about privacy,
right.
look for browsers that have built-in tracker blocking, VPN integration, strong encryption,
right.
things like that.
That's what Sweet NetSurfer really focuses on.
Exactly.
That's their big selling point.
They have a lot of privacy-conscious users. If speed is your thing, then maybe you want something that's more lightweight,
right.
uses less resources. And if you like customizing everything,
yeah.
Vivaldi is your friend.
Right, right. And don't forget security.
Yes.
That's a big one, right?
Huge. You want a browser that takes security seriously.
Right.
Because there are so many threats out there.
Absolutely.
So look for things like automatic updates, sandboxing, phishing protection.
Okay.
All those things help to keep you safe.
So we've explored the tactics, the solutions,
yeah.
the world of alternative browsers.
Yeah.
But let's just take a step back for a second. Why does all this matter? Like, why should we, as users, really care about this whole browser choice thing?
You know, on the surface, it might seem like a minor inconvenience, right? Like, oh, I have to use Edge, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really about having control over your online experience.
Right.
It's about agency. It's about freedom.
It's about having choices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's about fostering a more diverse internet. Because if one company has too much control
right.
over the gateway to the web, then that can stifle creativity. It can limit innovation.
Okay, I see your point.
Right. Like, imagine if the folks behind Sweet NetSurfer had just given up because they couldn't break through, right?
Yeah.
We might never have had their unique approach to privacy and speed.
Right. So it's not just about us as individuals.
Right.
It's about the internet as a whole.
Exactly. A more open, more competitive browser landscape benefits everyone.
Okay, I like that. That makes sense.
It leads to better products, more innovation.
Right.
Just a richer online experience for everybody.
So it's a future worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Right. But like, how can we as individual users really make a difference in this?
Well, I think it starts with awareness,
okay,
like we're doing here.
Yeah.
Talk to your friends. Talk to your family about this.
Oh, okay.
Share articles. Like, you know, get people thinking about it.
Yeah.
Encourage them to try different browsers.
Spread the word. Let people know that they have options.
Exactly. And every time you choose to download a browser,
yeah,
that's not the default.
Right.
You're kind of casting a vote.
Right.
You're saying, I value choice. I value diversity.
Yeah.
I want a more open internet. And those messages, when enough people send them,
yeah,
can actually make a difference.
So it's like a quiet revolution,
yeah,
happening one browser download at a time.
I like that. It's a good way to put it.
But, you know, I think some people might feel a little overwhelmed by all this, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to feel powerless against these big tech companies.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who's feeling a little discouraged?
I would say start small.
Okay.
Focus on what you can control.
Yeah.
You don't have to become a tech expert overnight.
Right.
Just start by doing a little research.
Okay.
Trying out a couple of different browsers.
Yeah.
Sharing your experiences with other people.
Okay.
Those small steps can actually make a big difference.
So it's about taking control of your own little corner of the internet.
Exactly. And remember, you're not alone in this.
Right.
There are lots of people who are working towards a more open and accessible internet.
The Browser Choice Alliance.
Yeah.
The developers of Sweet NetSurfer.
Absolutely.
Little busy little
policymakers. All these people are working towards this goal.
So you're part of a bigger movement.
Exactly. And by joining them, even in a small way,
yeah,
you're helping to create a future where users have more control, developers have more freedom.
Right.
And the web is just a more vibrant and diverse place.
Okay. So we're almost out of time for this part of our deep dive.
Yeah.
But I have one final question for you, our listeners. Something to think about.
Okay.
As you continue to explore the internet. What happens if most people just stick with the default?
Ooh, that's a good one.
What does that mean for the future of independent developers?
Right.
Innovative features.
Yeah.
And ultimately, our own choices.
That's a question worth pondering.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's something we're going to pick up on in the next part of our deep dive.
It's a really important question to think about. And, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the technical details.
Yeah.
All this talk about browsers and gatekeepers. But ultimately, it comes down to us, the users, right?
Right, right. It's about our experience online.
Exactly. If we're not aware of how these things work,
yeah,
how these companies are trying to influence our choices, then we're kind of just along for the ride.
Right. We're just passengers.
We might stumble upon a cool alternative browser like Sweet NetSurfer.
Uh-huh.
But if we don't understand the bigger picture,
yeah,
the challenges they face, the tactics used against them,
right,
we might not fully appreciate it or support it the way we should. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, you go to a museum, you see a painting, you can admire it on the surface.
Right.
But if you understand the artist's story, their struggles,
right,
their techniques,
yeah,
it adds a whole new dimension.
Totally. Yeah.
With browsers. Knowing the backstory helps you appreciate the alternatives even more.
Okay. But let's be real.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel like this is all way over their heads.
Right.
Like, I'm not a tech person.
Yeah.
I don't get all the coding stuff. How can I possibly make a difference?
I hear that.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to remember.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a programmer.
Okay.
To understand when a company is being manipulative.
Right.
Or to appreciate the value of choice.
Right. It's about being an informed consumer.
Exactly. Like, you wouldn't buy a car without yeah, doing some research.
Right. Exactly. Read some reviews. Compare prices.
Right. Same with your browser.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Take some time to learn about your options.
Okay.
Think about what's important to you.
And it doesn't have to be boring.
Right. No, it can be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually enjoyed
yeah,
trying out some of these different browsers.
It's like discovering hidden treasures.
Yeah.
In a vast library of software.
Exactly.
You never know what you're going to find.
So for our listeners who are maybe feeling inspired,
yeah,
ready to ditch the default and try something new,
mm,
what are some practical things they can do?
I'd say the first step is to just embrace your curiosity.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to try things out.
Okay.
Download a few different browsers, read reviews,
yeah.
watch some demo videos. It's like going to a car dealership.
Okay.
But without the pushy salesperson.
Right. Yeah, I like that analogy.
Right.
Yeah.
You can just browse around, see what catches your eye.
And there are resources out there that can help.
Absolutely. The Browser Choice Alliance has a great website.
Okay.
They have comparisons, user reviews, guides on how to switch browsers.
That's awesome.
And don't be afraid to ask for help. If you have a techie friend,
yeah.
ask them.
Yeah, totally.
Or join online communities
right.
dedicated to specific browsers.
There are people out there who love to talk about this stuff.
Totally. And once you find a browser you love,
yep.
spread the word. Tell your friends, write reviews.
Let people know that there are alternatives.
Exactly. Because mm-hmm. the more we amplify these voices,
yeah.
the more momentum we build towards a better internet.
It's like a ripple effect
yeah.
spreading outwards.
Exactly. And even small actions
yeah.
can make a difference. Every time you choose an alternative browser.
Okay.
Every time you share your experience, yep. every time you speak up against something that feels wrong.
Right.
You're contributing to a more open and innovative web.
That's a really powerful thought. So to wrap things up.
Yeah.
I want to leave our listeners with a sense of hope.
I love it.
Because even though we've talked about a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
There's also this incredible energy.
Right.
This movement towards change.
The Browser Choice Alliance, mm-hmm. Opera's legal challenge, the media attention.
Yeah.
All of this shows that people are starting to care.
People are waking up.
Exactly. And that's so encouraging.
It is.
Because it means we're not alone.
We're all in this together. And we have the power.
Yeah.
To create a better digital future.
One browser choice at a time.
Exactly. So to our amazing listeners.
Yeah.
Go explore, discover, find the browsers that empower you.
Yes. Choose wisely, surf freely, and stay curious.
That's it for this deep dive into the world of browser wars. Thanks for joining us.